What was on most people's mind this week was the cold and the snow. Now, I'll tell you the truth, it's a Mefurish Prima Gadim. There's a Prima Gadim that's brought down in Simon Tav Resh Pei Vav. Tav Resh Pei Hei. If you don't believe me, you can look it up after the shir. The Prima Gadim at the end of Eshel Avram in Simon Tav Resh Pei Hei, he brings down the following statement. He quotes in the name of Yitzchak HaDarshan, who says the following thing, and we all know it's true. He writes over here, Kishachav Shchedes Shvat B'Yom Dalad. Shchedes Shvat falls out on Wednesday, which it does this year. Oz Yeh Kar V'Shele Godol Pa'Oise Chayrif. You're going to have a lot of cold and a lot of snow that winter. So if you have any doubt, it's a Mefarsh Prima Gadim that we're not going to have an easy winter. So if you want to know where it all comes from, this is Rabbi Yitzchak HaDarshan quoted in the Prima Gadim, quoted by the Rabbah, quoted by many, that there's some form of connection to the when Rosh Chodesh Shvat falls out on a Wednesday, which it does this year, to having a very, very brutal cold winter, which we're experiencing this year. So I always thought Shah on this Prima Gadim meant where he lived. Wherever he lived. I don't know, wherever Yitzchak HaDarshan lives, wherever community lives. Apparently it follows all of us. So there's no question this year, this is very true. Yeah, I wish I would have known. But as I zakhed, it's a Mefarsh Prima Gadim. It's brought La Halacha. So I guess it's something we should all know about. He connects it to the word Vayigash. He has to do with the fact that it really depends on when Rosh Chodesh, he plays it back into the word Vayigash. He's Miramis to the word Vayigash. Gimel Shvat Oz Yeh Kar V'Geshem, he flips back into the word Vayigash, but he writes it over here before it's brought down in Prima Gadim that whenever Rosh Chodesh Shvat falls out on a Wednesday, we're going to have a very brutal winter. So we have what to look forward to. Hopefully that was the end of the brutal winter and now we're ready to move on. But that's something I thought everyone would appreciate when we talk about the weather. You know, we say everything is in the Torah. So even the winter is Mefurish in Prima Gadim in the end of Hilchus, right before Hilchus Megillah. We started Sefer Shmos this week. It's worth mentioning the Ramban's introduction. It's kedai to read every Ramban's introduction to all of the five Chamisha Chamisha Torah. And I gratify think I tell this to my Talmidim, this I picked up from Rosh Hashachter. It's kedai to read every Sefer's Hakdama. If you want to gain strange knowledge of interesting things, read the Hakdamas to Swan. People skip it, they go straight to the Perek Aleph. Read the Hakdama, you'll see there's so much terrific information, both historically and interesting and Dvar Torahs. If you read the Hakdama to Svarim, there's some great, great pieces and famous Hakdamas. There's a famous introduction in the Igle Tal. Everyone who learns Masechah Shabbos learns Igle Tal. Every Malacha is by the Igle Tal. In the Igle Tal's introduction, he has a comment that everyone knows, which is worth mentioning. He writes that people make a mistake. They think that learning Torah Lishma is when you don't enjoy it. When you sit over Gemara, you hate every minute of it. But that's Torah Lishma. He writes Lehepach. Torah Lishma means learning and enjoying it. That's Torah Lishma. He says it's a mistake that everyone makes. They think Torah is not supposed to be enjoyable. So if you get a geshmak out of a kasha and a Torah, it's a chesaron in your Torah Lishma. Says the Igle Tal, exactly Lehepach. That's what Torah Lishma means. That's an example of an introduction that's kedai to see. There's a bunch of swarm that have very interesting hakdamas. There's a famous psak that everyone knows. It's quoted in the name of Dayan Fisher. Dayan Fisher was one of the big poiskim in Eretz Yisrael. He had a chiddush psak l'halacha, which is not widely accepted. He held that women are not allowed to fast unless they're in the ninth month, even on Yom Kippur. Healthy women, no problems, no complicated pregnancies. He writes an introduction to a sefer in Hilchos Bikur Cholim. He didn't write it. He was writing like Haskoma. In the middle of the sefer, he writes this comment that became widely known, that a lady, any nursing lady is not allowed to fast, any tannis, unless she's in her ninth month. And he writes, I saw cases, and I've seen many miscarriages that happen because women fast. And he writes a whole circle. Again, all the introduction to the sefer. You would never see this in the sefer itself. It's a sefer about Bikur Cholim. It's not even in the actual sefer. It's in Haskoma. I think he writes Haskoma, an introduction. So there's a lot of good information that we gain that you can learn from introductions to Svarim. So it's kedai to learn introduction. He holds in the ninth month, so she'll go into labor, and then she'll be able to deliver the baby. It's not widely accepted, and most Paiskim today don't assume like that. They assume that if she's healthy and everything is okay, she could fast. But it's a very controversial psak from Dayan Fisher that he passed him like that. But you wouldn't find it anywhere else. You'd find it in the Hakdama to a Sefer. So it's Kedai. There's a famous Hakdama. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes Hakdama in his Siddur. He writes his comment that the problem with Klai Yisrael is that Klai Yisrael doesn't have enough what we call today shtolz. We don't pride ourselves on being B'nai Malachim. We lose sight that we're really special. If we'd really realize that we're special, he said, we'd behave differently. If we really thought this, as we're mamish children of a king, we're from Hashem's family, we would behave differently. He writes this also in his introduction to his Siddur Yaivet. So a lot of it's a kedai, and again, a lot of people skip it because it's usually what's in the introduction. at least many svarim, there's a lot to gain. So the Ramban, in his introduction to all the Chamisha Chumash HaTorah, he always has something very interesting. And Shmois is no different. In the beginning of his introduction to Shmois, the Ramban writes the following idea. He writes that Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzirah. That's when everything, so to say, was created. That's when everything happened. That's when Avraham Avinu and the Avos and Shvatim, that was the creation of the blueprint for the world. He writes, so now what's the next Sefer known as Sefer Shmois? He writes, Sefer Shmois is known as the Sefer HaGolos. We start to go into Golos and ultimately the Geula. But he writes a line over here, which I think is very important. He writes, Vini HaGolos and Yeronishlam ad Yoim Shoivam Shalmuk Amukayim of Elmailos Avasin Yoshuv. One would have thought that if Sefer Shmois is the story of the Golos and the Geula, so it should have ended around Parshas Yisra. And from Yisra'el on, it should be a new Sefer. What goes on afterwards? Mishpoy, we have the Binyan HaMishkan. What does the Binyan HaMishkan have to do with the salvation from Mitzrayim? We're out of Mitzrayim. That's it. That's the end of the Sefer. Right? The Ramban, because that's not the way one is supposed to view the end of a Tzara. He says, Ki hayu ba'aretz lo lahem levuchim b'midbar. He says, the fact that we left Mitzrayim and we were wandering around, that's not the ultimate Yeshua. That doesn't mean we were saved from Sheba Mitzrayim. No, it wasn't until much later till HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a place where he can dwell. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a makim that his Shechina can dwell and rest among us. That's the ultimate and that's the completion of the Geula. And that doesn't take place until we build the Mishkan. So points out the Ramban's introduction, although this Sefer predominantly discusses the Shibud and Hatzolah and the Geula, we can't lose sight that the Geula didn't happen when we left Mitzrayim and now we're free. It's not. It wasn't about just being free and not having to work for power. It was about having a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could feel that he can rest Shechina amongst us. And that wasn't until we had a Mishkan. And that's why Sefer Shmois ends with Vayakha Pekudei. And it does then end with Yisrael, which is really Shiva Mitzrayim. There's a famous Balaturim. There's two famous Balaturims I'll mention. The first one is that there's a remez to the mitzvah of Shtayim Mikvah Ve'echa Targum. The Eila Shmois is of Adam Chayev Loimar Shtayim Mikvah Ve'echa Targum. So I remember once hearing Gapshat, this episode over here, why here? Why in Sefer Shmois do you want to bring the idea? Bring it in Sefer Bereishis. That's when the Sefer Torah starts. The guy first realizes Sefer Shmois, he has done Shtayim Mikvah, he's a little behind the game. Got a lot to catch up on. So write it in the beginning. Why write it now? So I heard once a pshat from somebody suggested, because Sefer Shmois is, as we mentioned, this is the beginning of Klal Yisrael's Golos experience. And as we mentioned last week, one of the tools for Klal Yisrael to survive in a Golos is Torah. But it's not just Torah, it's all of us learning the same Torah. This was really the idea behind the Daf Yomi. It was this way: you have Jews who don't know each other, never met each other before, and they find each other in a place together. They have what to talk about. They're both learning the same Chumash. We're all learning Chumash Shemaisis. Or this week we're all learning Parashas Ve'era. I'm learning Chumash, and you're learning Chumash, and you're learning Rashi. We all have what to talk about. The Torah connects us. This was really the motivation of starting the Daf Yomi. Besides, this way people can finish Shas. So this way all Jews have something to talk about. We share a common denominator. So when Klal Yisrael is about to go into Galus, Klal Yisrael, The Chazal are telling us a trick to survive the Golos is not only Torah, but if a Torah that can unify us, something we all learn together, something we're all learning the same thing, the same topic, it unifies us, it gives us a much stronger success for Klal Yisrael to survive. There's another Balaturim. Balaturim says that from the words Es Yaakov Ish, the Seifei Teves are Meramis to Shabbos, that the Mitzrayim were trying to eradicate Shabbos. So there's a beautiful verse from the Satmar Rebbe, the Deviyel writes, what was the Shabbos that Klal Yisrael were clinging to? It wasn't the food and the, you know, not working. He says what the Mitzrayim were trying to do was they knew Shabbos was the one day where people get to learn Torah. Whole week you're busy, you're working, you don't have as much time. Shabbos was designated for Torah. The Mitzrayim knew this. The Mitzrayim knew if we're going to eradicate Shabbos, what we're going to do is we're going to cause them not to be able to learn Torah. And that's going to be a downfall for the Jewish people. Says the Satmar Rebbe, it wasn't the Shabbos of the relaxation that Klal Yisrael was trying to hold on to, that the Mitzrayim were trying to take away from us. It wasn't the day of break from work. It was the day to be able to learn Torah, which is what Shabbos was given for. Therefore, says the Satmar Rebbe, that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to take away the Shabbos, by doing so really taking us away from Torah, which is really our survival, and therefore being able to cause us much harm. Rashi quotes a Medrash in the beginning of the parasha that Klal Yisrael is compared to stars. What exactly is the significance of comparing Klal Yisrael to stars? So the Kliyaka writes that a star is something unique. You only see a star after it gets dark. You don't see stars during the day. Hey, we don't see stars at all. Thank you to pollution, we barely get to see anything in the sky. But stars we only see when it gets dark. Says the Kliyaka, the real essence of a person, we only see after he dies. Everyone always jokes, Achri Mois Kedosh, right? Says the Kliyaka, it's not because no one knows about him. It's because we don't know yet where he's going to go. Until a person dies, there's always a chance that he can change, he can turn. So therefore, says the Kliyaka, the first time you actually get to see a person for his real greatness is only after he dies, after it's choshech, after it's completely dark. That's what a star represents. A star is something that only comes out after the darkness, after it's already nighttime, and then you see the beauty of the star. Says the Kliyaka, that's what Klal Yisrael is like. We don't get to see the full essence of people until after they die, and we get to relive their lives and see what they did and how they did. That way we're able to see the essence of who they were. Moshe Shtermach has a slightly different shot. Moshe Shtermach says, if you look up in the sky, you see stars, they all look the same. They all look the same. You can tell the difference between one star and another star. They all look the same. He says, many times we as Jews, we look at ourselves and say, we're all basically the same. We all look the same. We do the same thing. What is my uniqueness versus the fellow next to me? And he says, that's why we compare it to the stars. Although the stars from this appearance look all the same, if you speak to anyone who knows anything, every star is different and special and unique and has its own name and he and her. So too, we are also like that. We are unique and special, although sometimes we get lumped together. We're all Jews. We're all Orthodox Jews. We're all Jews living in this community. We're all unique and we have to remember that. We have uniqueness and things that make us special. And that's why we're compared to the stars. Rav Bax, who used to be the Reshiva, Israeli Nifter, was Reshiva in Detroit. He was an Altamira. Rav Bax used to say that pshat in the stars is because why did the stars even come into creation? The whole tachlis of the stars was to make shalom between the moon and the sun. That's the whole reason why Hashem created the stars. The stars were there to make peace. So he says, that's why Klai, so we're here. We have to realize our essence in this world is to bring shalom. We have to realize that's our purpose. We're like the stars. The same reason why the stars' whole tafkin achayim was put into this creation was to make peace between the moon and the sun. We have to realize our purpose here as well is to be able to bring shalom between each other, to bring different communities in our family. So we have to, you know, not lose sight on our purpose here, which is to bring shalom like the stars. Targum Unkelus says something over here which is very interesting. The pasuk says, so the Targum Unkelus says something over here that says, what does it mean a new king that didn't know Yosef? Says the Targum Unkelus, a new king who didn't keep Yosef's decrees. What was Yosef's decrees? So many Achrayim explain, some Rebbe and others, they say that Yosef mamish built into the constitution. Yosef knew this was going to happen. He knew that eventually, after he goes and after his brothers go, they're going to do something radical against the Jews. So he put it into the constitution that you can never make Jewish people slaves and you can never do anything to the Jewish people, this and that. He wrote it into the constitution. And what happened to the new king? Didn't care. Says the Targum Unkelus, Deloy Mikayim Gezeris Yosef. He didn't care about Yosef's rules. Although Yosef wrote it into the constitution and made it a law in Mitzrayim that you can't mistreat the Jewish people, this guy didn't care. A Melech Chodesh, he could do whatever he wants. Deloy Mikayim Gezeris Yosef. It's Mefurash Targum Unkelus that he didn't keep Yosef's decrees, and Yosef made a decree that the Jewish people should not be harmed or shouldn't become slaves, and that was not kept. In other times we've spoken, I don't know if I'm going to speak about it this morning, I might want to save it for Wednesday night share, that there is unbelievable comparisons from an historical point of view to what Paroi did with the Mitzrayim, to what Hitler did with the Jews in the late 1930s. There are remarkable connections, similarities, and if not for the fact that Hitler might have been an atheist, I would have suggested Hitler took a page straight out of Paroi's playbook, which is also a dispute if Hitler was an atheist or not. There are some unbelievable comparisons of exactly what Paroi did thousands of years ago to what Hitler did not so many years ago, of how to deal with what we call at that time the Jewish problem. How do we deal with a nation that at that time is being very successful, being somewhat influential and powerful? The Kliyaka writes in the beginning of last week's parasha, it says in the pasuk that the Jewish people multiplied. It says the Kliyaka, this was not a numbers issue. It wasn't that there were a lot of Jewish people. It says they were successful. It means they had a lot of money. They carried the money, says the Kliyaka. That's what bothered the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim couldn't handle that. These immigrants, these Jews, who are only a few generations into the country, they're now top 1%, to borrow terminologies from what we hear today. Says the Kliyaka, that's what bothered the Mitzrayim. It wasn't the fact that there was a lot of Jewish kids running around the streets. You know, it wasn't that there were a lot of, you know, Jewish yeshivas that bothered the Mitzrayim. It bothered them, says the Kliyaka, that they were holding all the money. Which again is obviously a problem that we live through in history many times. But besides for that, there are some remarkable comparisons to how Paroi dealt with it. First of all, we find that the pasuk tells us, Havan is chach maloi. Paroi had a meeting. Had to deal with the Jewish problem. Paroi also had a meeting. Hitler had a meeting. How do we deal with this Jewish problem? What was the reason for a meeting? So the Ramban writes, often the Ramban says, why couldn't he just go around killing them? Just kill the Jews on the streets. Well, what's the big deal? Says the Ramban, Paroi knew if he were to do that, the people would revolt against him. We're talking about Paroi. This is a dictatorship. Paroi said, I know that if I'm just going around killing Jewish kids, I'm going to get flak from the people. I have to have chachma. I need hava nischachma. I got to come up with some chachma of how I can do this. Writes the Ramban. What was the chachma of Paroi? What Paroi did was he made a tax. He taxed the Jews and not the Mitzrayim. What do you gain by that, says the Ramban? He created the separation between Jew and Mitzri. Once you create a separation between the two, it's much easier to be able to bring one of them down. This is mamish, exactly what Hitler did, starting with the Nuremberg Laws in 1933 and working his way through the 30s, was to be able to draw a distinction between German and Jew. If there's no such distinction, you can't wake up one day and say, let's kill all the Jews. These people were my neighbors, my business partners. Some of us were mechutanim with them, you know, sadly enough. You can't just wake up one day and say, okay, let's kill them all. You have to do it slowly, and you have to use chachma. Havan is chachmalay. There has to be a chachma involved. Says the Ramban, Pare knew that it has to come slowly, and it has to be that the people realize a difference between Mitzri and Jew. And he said it wasn't justified to make a tax. The Mitzrayim, technically the Jews were foreigners. It's not crazy to make a foreigner's tax. And slowly, slowly, writes the Ramban, over time, they were able to show what I like to consider second-class citizens. And once you have that situation in your head, it's much easier to be able to eradicate an entire nation when you view them as second-class citizens. So that's one of the, there's many other rayas and comparisons between what Pari did and to what Hitler did, but it's the same psychological way of dealing with a problem when you have a nation that is both powerful and well-known and well-liked. And again, many Germans fought in World War I. They held very high-ranking positions in the German government. Just to one day snap and say, okay, we're going to eradicate the whole country. Pari knew it wouldn't work. Hitler knew it wouldn't work. It had to go slowly over time. Change the attitude, change the look. That's, I believe, why they set up ghettos. The purpose of a ghetto wasn't just, we need to hold them somewhere. The purpose of a ghetto was to create this distinction. They don't live with us. They're in a different part of the town. They're different. Oh, they're different. They're less than us. They're lower than us. All of a sudden, it's a lot easier to be able to destroy them. So you see striking similarities between what happened many years ago to what happened not so many years ago in Klal Yisrael's history and how we got destroyed. Another striking similarity is that both Pari and Hitler used Jews to do their dirty work. When you take a Jew and put him on top of another Jew, what you do is you break the will of the Jew to survive. If a Jew sees another Jew is breaking him, and is his leader, and is working him to the bone, and hitting him, and making sure he does his work, what you do is, and what you accomplish, is you break his will and his motivation to continue. Which is what Pari did, that's why he pointed Jews as leaders over the Jews. And Hitler did the exact same thing. When you have what's known as Jewish people, enforcing Jewish people, they feel that they're completely lost the achdus, and therefore there's very little motivation to continue. We also find the idea of just busy work. The longer people stay busy doing things, the less they have any motivation to want to revolt. Many people ask the question in history, I don't understand, how did the Jews just let themselves be taken by the Nazis? Now, this is sitting in your warm room with 20 layers of clothing on, sitting in a nice warm room after you ate a big breakfast, and you say, I don't understand these Jews, they just let the Nazis take over. We have no idea of how it took time until slowly, slowly they broke us down. Financially, they took away our money, and then they took away this, and then finally we were left mamish nothing. We had no will to move on. Then they broke us down. So same thing here also. What the Mitzrayim did was they kept us so busy doing physical work. By the time we came home at night, the last thing we thought about was, no, let's revolt against Pari. We just said, let's just collapse and move on and have another day tomorrow. Whether we will wake up or we won't wake up. That was the feeling of the Jews throughout the Holocaust. They weren't thinking revolt. Well, why not? Because they were beaten down. They were so tired. They had no energy. They just wanted to, many of them went to sleep at night hoping they would not wake up the next morning. Because for them, that would have been an easier option. The Jews had the same thing in Mitzrayim. Revolt was the furthest thing from their mind. When people talk about why didn't the Jews revolt against Pari? It's because you don't understand what the Mitzrayim are doing to the Jews. So it's striking similarities in history between the two. The last Vart is a famous Vart in this week's Parsha. We'll mention it. Is that the Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want a nurse from a non-Jew. So that's why they had to bring in a Jew to nurse. So there's Ramon Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Rashba, quotes a Rashba, that says every Jewish child is not supposed to nurse from a non-Jewish mother. If possible, the baby should nurse from a Jewish mother. So the Vilna Gaon writes over there, for Moshe Rabbeinu is the source. The same reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, so too, every baby should. So Fred Yaakov Kamenetsky says, I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to drink from a non-Jewish mother. He was going to talk Pal, talk Hashem Baruch Hu. My baby, what's my baby going to grow up to be? Why do I have to worry about my baby? So Yaakov Kamenetsky writes a very valuable lesson in the Chinuch. He says, we should all raise our children that they can one day grow up to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. How can I let my baby, that's born in whatever year, in 2015, nurse from a non-Jewish woman? Maybe my baby will grow up to be like a Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to give ourselves. We don't give ourselves a chance. We don't give ourselves a fair shot with our children. We say, let's be honest. You're not going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. You grow up in 2015. You know, your biggest concern is when are you going to get an iPhone as a child? You know, you're not going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Yaakov, it's not true. We have to raise our kids with the ability that they can grow up to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. They can talk talk Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's the way we're mechanech our children, that's the way they feel. If they feel that they're never going to grow up to be anything great, because we never tell them they're going to be great. Right? If we tell our children, you have potential to be great. You could be a great Gadol Hador. You could be a Rosh Hashiva. You could be this. You could be that. Listen, you don't want to give them a false hope either. You don't want to tell your kid at 10 years old he's ready to be, you know, to fill Rabbi Yashiv's spot on the Bezdin. You know, you don't want to give him the wrong idea either. But a good boast of confidence is always good for a child to realize that they could be great. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come necessarily from a Meyuchas family. Amram was Taka, a very Choshev Yid. He came from Levi. But Moshe Rabbeinu became a great person because he was a great person. Because he felt the Tzar of Klal Yisrael. And therefore we too can become great people. Sometimes we don't give ourselves or our children the chance to realize that we all have great potential. And if we really tap into it, we could be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, writes Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's the lesson from this Ramon Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea. I think it's like in Peizayin. I think most people skip it when they're learning Yerodea. They don't come across it too much. But it's a very valuable lesson in realizing our potential and our children's potential. We could one day grow up to be like a Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Back to the Gemara over here. Yeah, I think Parsha Shmois might be easier to understand than the sugya we're up to, but okay, we'll try. The Gemara, back to the Gemara over here, we're trying to figure out, how do you have a gerushin where you throw the get within 100 amas of the isha? The Mishnah says, if the get's closer to her, she's divorced, the get's closer to him, they're not divorced. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rav and Yochanan, what's the cases of close? Rav said close means dalar amas, Yochanan says close means 100 amas. Which means if the get's within 100 amas of the isha, she's divorced. If they get more than 100 amos, so she's not divorced. So we spoke a little bit last week about how exactly is one supposed to understand the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he talks about this idea of being close to her? What type of kinyan is kinyan closeness? That never works in a mitzvah. If I'm in the middle of a shisarabim or a simto, and there's a mitzvah within 100 amos of me, I'm not kind of the mitzvah. There's no such kinyan called kinyan kofama. Even kinyan dalar amos is be'etzem achidish, which we'll talk more about today. But well, what type of kinyan is kinyan kofama? Where did Rabbi Yochanan come up with this idea that a lady can be divorced if you throw a get within 100 amos of her? So let's just see the Gemara and we'll try to shed some light. And by doing so, we're going to do a little bit chazara of kedushin. We haven't done that in a while. We'll try to get a little bit back into how exactly kedushin works. So the Gemara says like this: Zark the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Karav Lo Shaninu. Rabbi Yochanan it says in the Mishnah closer to her, Afilu Mei Amma, even within 100 Amma. The Karav Lo closer to him, Shaninu, Afilu Mei Amma, even within 100 Amma. Hey Chidami Mechta Mechta. So how do you have a case of 50-50? Amar Bshim Barabo Ledim Farsh Lemid. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm going to explain to Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Who Yochel Lisham Roy? If he's able to guard the get, if he ain't Yochel Lisham, she cannot guard the get. So Karav Lo, that's called closer to him. It's not about distance. It's not about how many feet are amos. It's about who's controlling the get. Who is the sole controller of the get? Belin Neder, next week, I hope to talk more about what exactly that means, controlling the get, how that works. But the simple reading of the Gemara is, he who controls the get is the one the get is kind of to. Which obviously is what type of kinyan is control. We never heard such a kinyan called control. There's kinyanim, there's chotzer, dalar amos. What type of kinyan is control? Okay, we'll have to talk about it. Says the Gemara, V'hi en yachol l'sham v'zeru karv lo. He yachol l'sham roi, v'hu en yachol l'sham roi. If she can control the get, she can guard the get, and he cannot, zeru karv lo, that's close to her, and therefore she'd be divorced. Shneim yachol l'sham roi, let's say they both are equally guarding it, or shneim en yacholim, or they're both equally not guarding it. Says the Gemara, Zel Mechza Mechza. That would be a case of Mechza Mechza. So again, doesn't give us too much of a lumdus of how this all works according to Rabbi Yochanan. Let's read. What I did over is I skipped around a little bit and I skipped three lines. Believe it, we'll come back to those three lines, but I just want to see the next statement in the Gemara. Yeah.
If neither of them have Thank control, you. Why would
that be? So that's Tysus we need to talk about. I put it on the page, Kilo, I'd get to it, but there's a Tysus on the last page, number 15, that's on my to-do list to talk about. Tysus discusses that Shiloh. How exactly does that case make any sense? Believe it, we'll hopefully get to it. So, there's one more shtickle Gemara we have to see before we really go back to try to understand Rabbi Yochanan and his complete statement. Rabbi Yochanan says another statement. If you remember when we learned this Mishnah, like, I don't know, 5 months ago, the Mishnah said that this halacha of karev law, is true by divorce, it's true by kedushin, and it's true by a chayv. We'll talk about chayv later, I don't know when yet, but let's talk about kedushin for a second. Says the Gemara, Omer Reb Asi, Omer Reb Yochanan, Legitin Omru V'loy L'davar Echa. Says Reb Asi, that Reb Yochanan, who came up with this novel idea called 100 Amis, he only says it by get and not by anything else. Lafuke what? Lafuke Mitzia, Lafuke Aveda, Mitzia Aveda, Lafuke Hefker, Lafuke Achoyf. Seemingly even Kedushin. Fracti Gemara can't be. It says in the Mishnah, It says in the Mishnah that whatever you hold in the Mishnah works for Kedushin. And since Rabbi Yechon is explaining the Mishnah, right, Rabbi Yochanan is not making up a new pshat, he's explaining the Mishnah. So it has to fit into the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Kedushin. So how could Rabbi Yochanan argue on the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam. Yeah, you're right. Kedushin is different. our old buddy the Hekesh, which we've spoken a lot about, that we know that although many times what works for Kedushin shouldn't work for Gerushin and vice versa, but we have this principle called the Makesh of Arlitzir. We compare the two to each other. And therefore, says the Gemara, although in theory Rabbi Yochanan doesn't think that Kedushin should have Kuf Amma, it does because Makesh of Arlitzir. Okay, that's something we need to talk about. Now, what is Pasha Pshat in the statement of Rabbi Yochanan? How does Kuf Amma work? So the truth is, Rashi really gives it away. If you look in Rashi number 2, Rashi says, the Gittin Amru, the only time we said Kuf Amma was by Get, Mshum Karva Migureshes. Because if it's closer, she's divorced. Let's say they'd be paying up a Choyf. Let's say one Reuven owes Shimon money. And Reuven takes the money, throws it to Shimon, and it doesn't go within Shimon's Dalamas. It goes within Shimon's Kuf Amma. Would you say, now I pay back the Choyf, and if anything happens to the money, I'm not a Chreis? I'm not a Chreis? Of course not. We only said a Legittin. Why? Says Rashi, the get who the bal korchei knuya law, because get it's acquired to her against her will. Hilkach, therefore la alter havegita, it's a get right away. Avo ba'al maloi, but everywhere else not.
So how would that work by
kiddush? Ah, okay. So let's try to deal with all the problems of it. So what is Rashi trying to relate to us? So the way of Soloveitchik explains it. And other achranim as well, but Salvech makes this very clear in Shu'er Rav. He says, you see from Rashi, that Rashi understood Pshat Rabbi Yochanan is what we talk about many times. That Gerushin is not about acquiring the get. You're never claiming the get. We always call it a tzais. But I'm a Rashi. It's really Rashi.
What does Rashi mean? What does Rashi mean that the Torah is mocking?
That's the other way of learning. Right? That's the other way of learning. We'll go with the first way. If you assume like the tzais's way of learning, that Rashi is telling you that by get, you're never claiming the get. You're never kind of the get. It's not true. The divorce does not work because Isha owns paper. That's why they're divorced. You ask most people, how does the get work? So the husband gives her the paper. She's kind of the paper. Through the kinyan of the paper, creates a chalish gershin. Says the tzais, as we quote this many times, says the tzais, it's not true. That's not the way this works. And his biggest proof, and we'll see it's mifurshin mishainim, is because of the fact that it works balkarcha. You can never own something against your will. It doesn't exist. If you own something, you can't. It's only because you decide you want to own it. No one can force you to own something. Therefore, if the Gemara is telling us that an Isha can own a get, Bal Korcha, says Rashi, says the Tzoyis, and points out of Salvechik, it's what the Gemara's fancy way of telling us, because the way this Chalois is working, it's not about ownership. So the words of Salvechik uses, he calls it, it's about Tfisa. It's having what I'm going to explain, to have control. Not that I own the get. I don't own the get. There's no bailus that exists when something's within 100 amos of yours. It doesn't exist. You don't own the get. So how does this work, says of Salvechik? Because it's not about owning. It's about being in control. Because the whole Chalois Gerushin is not about owning a get. The Torah didn't say the Nasan Biyada and she's kind of the get and that's why you're divorced. The Torah said give it to her to a point where she's somewhat controlling the get. She has control. She has Tvisa, as her Salvation called it. Therefore, how do I prove it? From Rashi. From the fact that Rashi says that Bal Korcha is the deciding factor. Therefore, it can't be about Kinyan. For it to be about Kinyan, you can't be kind of Bal Korcha. Therefore, says Rav Salavichik, Rashi is telling us that the lomdus of Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan holds, Salavichik says it really like this, that Rabbi Yochanan holds there's two ways to create Chalais Gerushin. One is the normal way, by being kind to the get. He doesn't disagree with that premise, but he says there's two ways you can do Chalais Gerushin. If you give her the get and you put it into her hand and she's kind to the get, good, that also works. But there's another mode to create Chalais Gerushin. That, and this is really, we said this already in Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim says such a pshat also. That the second way to make Chalais Gerushin is if I decide not to go that route of Kinyan, I decide to go through the route of what we call a Maisa Nesina, then as long as she is the sole controller of the get, she's the one who has the ability to be Shomer the get, that creates Chalais Gerushin as well. That's the way Rav Salavichik learned the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan based on this Rashi. What's interesting about this Rashi is that Rashi says two words that I have a little trouble with. Rashi says about Karcha Kenuya La. So we had a pshat when we learned the sugya way back that there's a way of being miyash at the kashya. Of course, she's kain it. She's just kain it without having to make a ma'aseh kinyan. Right. That's what sounds like from this Rashi. Rashi doesn't say the havid de bal korcha shehi megureshes. Rashi doesn't say she's divorced bal korcha. Rashi says the bal korcha kinuya law. It's quiet to her. According to the way Reb Chaim and the Ksei says, it's not the pshat kinuya law. It's not kinuya law. She doesn't own the get, but she's still megureshes. Rashi should have wrote the bal korcha megureshes. Not the Knuya law. She owns it. That's not the point. The point is she doesn't own it. So this Rashi is, I think, the way we said this over from the Imre Moshe and other Achrayim, they want to say, I think it's based on Yushalmi, that the other she's kind of the get. No one's denying the fact. It's just the Chiddush is not that divorce works without Kinyan Aget. The Chiddush is that there's Kinyan Aget without consent. That's the Chiddush. Different way of saying it. Again, not that she's never kind of the get. The way Reb Chaim said it, and the way the Tzai said it, and the way Salvechik is assuming, she's not kind of the get. She doesn't own the get. Which fits beautifully in our Gemara. Reb Yechon, there's no kinyan in the world called Kuf Amma.
So then you're back to that Kasha on Rashi. How is it kind of Tahar?
So that's the Chiddush. So that's the way they say it. Oh, we'll have to say how. We'll have to come back to see how Rashi learns Kuf Amma in a second. We haven't finished with that yet. But then you're going to have to say a Shtikul Torah. But I'm just saying, from the words of Rashi, the words of Rashi don't sound like to me to what we call the Tzayis Yisoid that your Megoresh is without a Kenyan. The fact that Rashi throws in the Bakorcha Kenuya law sounds like the get is kind of to her. According to the Tzayis, the point is she's not kind of the get. This Rashi sounds more like we said from I believe it's the Imre Moshe, if I remember correctly, that the alumnus over here is different. The alumnus over here is that she is kind of the get. The chiddush is that she's kind of the get, although she never made a ma'aseh kinyan on it, or a consenting ma'aseh kinyan. That's the chayra what comes out from Rashi. But again, the pshat in our Gemara we'll leave for now is the way Rav Salavechik assumes pshat in the Gemara according to Reb Yochanan, is that the way the Gemara works is that of course there's no kinyan called Kuf Amma. This would never work for Mitzia. This would never work for Hefka. This would never work. Why does it work over here? Because Gershon, you don't need kinyan. What do you need? What do you need for kinyan? You need to have a power, control, that's good enough. What's the raya? The raya is from the fact that it works bal korcha. Clearly it's not working with kinyan. That's the way of Salvechik learned the Shita
Rabbi Yechon. What's her original source for learning that is that she has to accept it bal korcha? Is it a pasuk or is it
a... That's a Mishnah. We spoke about this once before. There's no pasuk anywhere that says Gershon works bal korcha. The whole thing that everyone knows Gershon works bal korcha is based on Mishnais. But that's a claw that we know in Gerish that it works by Karach, so now we're all working backwards. The Salvechik brings up the Kasha, that if this is the Pshat in the Gemara, there's one major Kasha that hangs over our heads. How do you explain Kedushin? Kedushin, there's no doubt, until today's Shir, there's no doubt that Kedushin works at the Isha's kind of the Tabas. No one's going to debate it. No one's going to say Kedushin works with the Mais and the Sina. No one says, when you exchange the ring, that creates Chalis Kedushin. Kedushin is your buyer. You buy like you buy anything else. Buying is with being kind. So asks Reb Salavechik, if this is a pshat in the Gemara, so now the Gemara is very hard to understand the chenilin in kedushin. If the lomdus of Reb Yechanan is that the way this is working, it's working is because gerushin doesn't need a ma'ase kinyan. So how can you apply the same thing to kedushin? So what's going to, the answer going to have to be?
What
is
the makna
consistent with?
Where? Such as?
Oh,
so the chayr you're going to have to answer, and we'll see it's before Sadis and Mishainim, is that that's the hekesh. We throw up our hands, we say, listen. And we once spoke about this. We did go through the sugya.
So what's the question?
The question is, if the way gerushin is working is because you don't need to actually be kind of the get.
Right.
So how could the Gemara say, and this works like this by kedushin also? Right. By kedushin.
You could have kedushin without a kinyan at all.
No.
Star or
right, but if you're going to use kesef, then you got to be kind of you can't just give the lady the ring and say, okay, I made a mice in the Sina Tadisha.
Maybe it means that by Kedushin, there's other ways to be a Kaddish woman without any act of Kenya.
No, but the problem is the Mishnah says that whatever Rabbi Yochanan said by get works by Kedushin. Which means if you were to throw Kedushin within 100 amas of the Sisha, you throw her a ring, she's standing 100 amas away from you, you throw it into her 100 amas, she'd be married. How? So again, before Rav Salavechik came, we'd say, well, maybe there's some chiddush over that your chatzar extends. Which Rav Shaim say, Rav Salavechik acknowledges that. He doesn't go like that. But if you assume like Rav Salavechik says, because there's no kinyan over here, this is just because for a gerush, you don't need a kinyan. So by kiddush, you definitely need a kinyan. So how does that work? So the simple answer is that's what the hekesh does. Now, we did talk about at length, probably years ago already, that to what extent or when do we apply hekesh and when don't we apply the hekesh? Right? The Rashba has a kashan, daf beis in kedushin. Makash of Ayelitzi, you should be able to marry a woman against her will. Makash of Ayelitzi. So we talked about once, and there's a long piece from Rav Chanan in a couple of places, to what extent are we makash of Ayelitzi and when are we not makash of Ayelitzi? This can't just be a free-for-all that we compare the two for everything. We know that's not true. There are certain things that are basic fundamentals of kedushin and basic fundamentals of gerushin, and that the hekesh doesn't work. So that's something to discuss. But that's the order there. Salvation brings up with this pshat, is how does that work in the Gemara?
However you explain Rashi's a problem, because Rashi is saying, well, since get works by Korcha, therefore, I'm not sure how this works, but therefore, Kuvam is working.
Right.
So I'm not going to say the connection, but whatever. But since Kedushin can work by Korcha, then no matter how you explain Rashi, you have to somehow, how does that work?
So the truth is, it creates even a bigger problem if we were to go back to that Vine Zion and Alf. Which I'm not. Maybe a little bit today. There's a Gemara that we all learned together in Daf Ayin Zayin
Amar Aleph. We don't go forward, Yeshua.
No,
we
only go backwards. We learned Daf Ayin Zayin, it's got to be years ago already. 2 years, I don't know, last year for sure. There's a beginning of the sugya of a Perek HaZayrik. There's a Gemara over there. The Gemara tells us there's two psukim in the Torah to how we know the concept called Kinyachatz. One is by Gneva. The Chiddush says, if I steal something, instead of bringing it into my hands, I bring it to my Chatzar, I'm Chayiv al Gneva. The second place is by get. And there's a kinds of discussion in the Gemara and the Rishonim. Why do I need to psukim and why can't I learn one from the other? So one of the kashas that Reb Chaim Moizer brings up in the tshuva is he says, one second, you're telling me now that kedushin, although it's not bal korcha, still has kofama. So when you go back to the Gemara on the Fein Zayin, the Gemara said that if I only had a pasuk by gerushin, I would say, oh, chatzar only works by gerushin because it's bal korcha, but nowhere else. Says Reb Chaim Moizer, what are you talking about? Kedushin techiach. Kedushin, we say everything is the same. Makshav Eletzi, whatever you have by one, you have by the other. So clearly, Bakarcha is not a deciding factor. If it works by Kedushin, then Kedushin is not Bakarcha. So Bechana points to, Rabbi Chaim Moizer brings it, has it in the Tshuva, in Simon, I think it's Simon Lamed, where he brings up, we'll bring that a little later today, bring up again one of Rabbi Chaim Moizer's Zaharas. But that's the Chayr what comes out from Rashi. Now, this Yisrael is not new to us. The way of salvation is learning the Gemara that Gerushin is not a Maisa Kinyan, it's Maisa Sina. This is something we've seen many times before. But L'Chayro, we're going to see today that it happens to be, I think, a huge Machloikis Rishonim. Everyone calls it a Machloikis Achronim between the Tzais and others. I think it's Bemis, a basic fundamental Machloikis Rishonim. There's a Tzais read over here, number 3. A little hard to read. I tried my best to make it as big as I can. But this Tzais read we saw also. The Tzais read writes like this. He's coming to explain the B'yechna. Says the Tzais read, Pirish. Again, what was Rabbi Yochanan's major statement? Legitin amru v'loy l'davar acher. Rabbi Yochanan said this kuf ama trick that I just came up with only works for get and no other area. Why not? So Rashi said because get's bal karcha. Says the Tosfos it's slightly different. Pirish kinyan da haget ein adom l'shar kinyanim da alma. The kinyan da alma, a regular kinyan, ein adom yochal haknes l'chaveri bal karcha. You can't give something. You can't be kind of something against your will. The haget adam maknei l'ishte bal karcha. Yet get does work by karcha. Again, similar idea that we saw from Rashi. Im kain, tam hadova deribol arachmana. Therefore says the Taisirid, the chiddush of the Torah, that other things work besides for your hand, loy ba'avor kinyanhu. It's not teaching me it's working because of kinyan. Ela sherehi atzuva v'ena chatzal iknoisa. She doesn't want to be kainit. V'chatzera konolom is kereshes. And nonetheless, her chatzera is kain and she's divorced. How can that be? Says the Tzitzit. Ella tamadavu neishahu mishtamiler daitoi. It's because she controls it. Im kain b'chomokim shu mishtamiler daitoi hi migureshes. Says the Tzitzit, an unbelievable chiddush. He says, let's go back a step. Let's understand chatzah for a second. How does chatzah work? We have exeris hakasov that there's a kinya chatzah works by get. How does that work? Says the Tzitzit. It's not the pshat that the chatzah is kain of the get. Says it can't be because she doesn't want to be kain of the get. And we have a principle that things are not kain if you when you don't want to. Elamai says the Taisvit. So what was the Gdeir Zakas of the Chatzar's kaina? It was the Chiddush was that if you have an area that you're in control of, that's sufficient to put a get there. Why? Because get's not about a Maisa Kenyan. Get's about a Maisa Nesina L'Rishusa. And if I'm in control of the area, that's enough to call the area my area. That's sufficient to be saying L'Yada.
So if an Aveda rolls into your Chatzar,
no. No. Because that's what he says in the next line. He says, Mash'enkin b'shar kinyonim da alma. But as opposed to other kinyonim, it doesn't work that way.
Hey, you
want to call by other kinyonim, by other kinyonim, it's not about controlling the area, it's about being acquiring the object. So by a mitzia, in order to be kind of mitzia, it's not the fact that you made an asina to my rishos.
I have to want it.
I have to actually be kind of
it. I have to pick it up.
I have to make a ma'isekinyon. Why is it unique? Similar to what we said from Rashi. From the fact that the Torah said it's get works by karcha, that tips us off to saying that gerushin is not about acquiring of the get. Because if it would be acquiring of the get, no woman would ever be divorced if she doesn't want to.
But according to Tosfos Arid, if it's an inyan of shmir, who says kofama shmir ladaita?
That's a chiddush of Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon was mechadish that. Rabbi Yechon was mechadish that within kofama, it means that I'm able to guard the get, or if I am able to guard the get. But what the Tosfos Arid gives to us over here is a chiddush and how to learn chatzah. The way the Tosfos Arid learned chatzah is not the pshat that chatzah is kaina. Not that I'm kind of chatzar, by gerushin at least. If you throw the get into an isha's backyard and she's screaming, chai v'kayim, I don't want to get divorced. She's still divorced. How do you explain that, says the Tzitzit? Because she was never kind of the get. Chatzar doesn't work because it's an extension of kinyan. Chatzar works because it's an extension of biyada.
She doesn't have to do
nothing. Nothing. Because if not, that's not considered rishusa. You might have to do various activities to make it your rishus. But the reason why you're crying is not because of a maisa kinyan, you're crying because I made an asinu l'rishusa. As I zok, the Tosfos, and this is really what we call Rashi. The Tosfos is a little bit more clear than Rashi, maybe, that this lomdus is being repeated in the Rishayin.
According to Reb Chaim, I think we had spoken about it in the past, right? There's two tracks, right?
The way Reb Chaim goes, yeah.
She sends, then she works a regular kinyan,
yeah.
But she doesn't. So let's say she wants to be divorced.
Right.
So in that case, it is with her da. So would kufama work in that case? Or does that case only work when we're doing it against her will? Well, the fact that we can do it against her will.
I would assume you can't in that case. You wouldn't be able to use kufama according to this.
You cannot use kufama if she consents.
That's what it sounds like.
It's ironic that divorce, she wants to be divorced.
We'll see. There's a funny comment like that in a Pnei Yeshua in a second. But yeah, I would. Yeah, we did discuss such a shayla. I don't remember how we came out all the details.
This,
yeah.
If she doesn't want to and gives it in the nesam biyado, it gives it into her
hand. Yeah.
It would also work.
It would work.
Chimeras, not because of kinyanim.
Right. Correct. 100%. That's where Reb Chaim and thing in stencil lays it out like this. Reb Chaim writes this nafkamina. The two nafkaminas would be, let's say, when you want to use kinyan agav. Let's say you want to give her the get with kinyan agav. So there you have a mice and kinyan without a mice and a sina. So you have to figure out which track you're going to use. That's the way Reb Chaim set it up.
We say it's
the same thing. No, all the Torah says by Gerush is nasim biyada. We always assumed that means because she's kind of the get. Says Rishonim and later Achronim that the pshat is no. The Torah says put it into a place that's called her hand. So normally you view a hand as a hand. Says the Torah, no, her backyard is also an extension of her hand. Not because her backyard is kind of the get, but her backyard is a makom, because she controls it. Says Rabbi Yochanan, if you are in an area that you can control outside your backyard, that's also sufficient to be called a yada.
Rabbi Yochanan also wants to cook.
It's anywhere that you are in control. As long as you're in control, which we'll have to see what that means practically, it might not always work out. If this is correct, if this yisoid is correct, that gerushin is unique, that it works bal karchoi, it's not just the fact that there's a kula in gerushin. Right? Most people think that there's a kula in gerushin. Gerushin works bal karchoi, and therefore the whole procedure is just more calm. According to this, it's more than that. It's that it changes the whole lumdus of the chalais. The way chalais gerushin works is not with a kinyan, instead it's with a ma'is and a sin. Says Reb Chaim Oizer, lefizeh, you can explain the Gemara in the beginning of the parak. The Gemara in the beginning of the parak said, why do I need two psokim for get? And one pasuk to teach me that get has chatzar, and one pasuk to teach me that geneva has chatzar. So the Gemara says, because if you would just tell me that get has kinyan chatzar, have amina mishum debal korchoi. I would think, you know why get has kinyan chatzar? Because kinyan gets bal korcha. But geneva, where you don't have geneva bal korcha, emolai. So most people, when they learn that Gemara, they learn the Gemara Stamazay, that since get has a leniency, that you can even make it against the will, so it has another leniency, you can put it anywhere you want. Says Reb Chaim Oizer, no, the Gemara is telling you a lumdus. The reason why chatzah works by a get is because by get you don't need a maisa kinyan. So the why? The bar karcha hu. Bar karcha is the raya that gerushin don't need a maisa kinyan. Mashenki, my gneva, the only way you become a ganav is if you actually kind of the gneva, so maybe chatzah doesn't work. That's how Reb Chaim Oizer learned that Gemara, which is very geshmak based on the Gemara over here. That Bal Korchoi is a raya, that the way the chalois is happening is completely different than everywhere else. Which then creates the question, so how do you explain Kedushin? Now it's very troubling. If you tell me that Gerushin is unique chalois, where it's not about Kinyonim, it's about Nesina, so how does Reb Yochanan himself say the Chayin in Kedushin? So the truth is, I think for this reason, many Rishonim, at least Rishonim, disagree with this whole track of learning the Gemara. This whole way we're learning the Gemara now is we'll call it the Molomdish way. We'll call it Rashi and Tesirid, Nektsais, and maybe some others that learned the Gemara that Rabbi Yechon is telling you a Lomdish. That the Lomdish of Gerushin is that it's a Mice and a Sina, not a Mice and a Kinyan. I think it's Mefurish and Rishonim, not like this. And I think the reason why the Rishonim didn't say like this is because either the Kedushin Kasha, or sometimes they disagree with the whole premise. They didn't think that's the Lomdish. They thought there's another way. The Marshal. If you look in the Ran number 4, the Ran in the back of the Gemara over here, the Ran writes the following. Says the Ran Yishino, this whole Rabbi Yochanan is not real. This is made up Rabbanim type of stuff. This is not real Kofama. There's also a thing called Kofama. This is a joke. What's Kofama, says the Ran? It was Shubta Konis Agunois. Rabbi Yochanan saw that there was a problem out there, and women weren't getting divorced, and they were being stuck in these marriages. So he had to come up with something, so he came up with this novel idea called Kofama. So the question is, but how does he justify it? No, the problem was they were doing these funny divorces, and now we weren't sure what to do with these women. Well, since the Pnei Yeshua is going to ask this question in a second, but says the Ran, but again, you can say anything you want, but how do you fit into the rules? You can't wake up one day and say, you know, I really feel bad for all the agunas in Klai, so I'm going to clap my hands, and all agunas will go free. That doesn't work like that, at least in Orthodoxy, right? We can't do that. Right? So how do we do this? So there has to be some method to allow it. So the method that Rishayim suggested, we spoke about this last week, with Reb Kiva Eger and Reb Shlaim Eger, was Afkin Rabban Kedush B'nei. They just pulled all the marriages. They couldn't make divorces, but the Rabbanim don't always have to make divorces. They could just pull the marriage. So what they did was, instead of making it a get, they just pulled the divorce. They pulled the marriage. They said, you were never married in the first place, and therefore you don't need a get. Therefore, out, you know, end result is you are divorced.
What so that's what happens with the children.
So lemafre, you'll have issues of lemafre according to this, right?
And what happens as far as then she could go ahead and marry?
She can marry a kohen pashtus.
That's unbelievable.
It's afkin rabbanu kedusha minay.
Okay.
No, because the only way it works is because the rabbanim say we decide if we want the marriage. We didn't want this marriage. We can't decide we don't want the marriage in the middle of the marriage. We can only start from the beginning. So according to these Rishonim, there's no kinyan called kofama. It doesn't exist. There's no such kinyan. A mitzvah that falls into your kofama does not get you anywhere. Kuf Amad is not a Maisa Kinyan. Dalar Amad, yeah, that's a Maisa Kinyan. Whatever. But this is not about Kinyan. You know why? This is Chazal pulling a string and saying, you know, you were never married. Oh, if that's the way it works, now we got a bigger kasha. How's that going to work by Kiddushin? Again, Chazal can pull Kiddushins once they started. But they
call them a kasha.
No, they can't make a, this is the issue we always talk about. They can never create marriages that don't exist. They can pull marriages and say we never gave consent to the marriage. But they can't make up a new marriage. So therefore, how can this same tactic work by Kiddushin? You throw the Kiddushin within 100 amas of the Isha. So Chazal claps their hands and say, okay, now you're married. It doesn't work like that. That can't fly. So the Rambam bavarns is kasha. Says the Ran, why does Rabbi Yochanan hold you can't say it anywhere else? So Rashi and the Tesis told you, why is get unique? Because get's bal karcha. Says the Ran, that's not the pshat. You know why get's unique? Because get has a concept called takanas agunas. That's why get's unique. Therefore, writes the Ran, kloy mashem ne takanas agunas amrukein begitin v'lo hoye efshalem lechalik ben gitin lekedushin. In theory, it shouldn't be true by kedushin either, because it doesn't fit by kedushin. First of all, there's no such thing called takanas agunas by kedushin. And secondly, I would add to the Ran, even in method you can't do it. Because you can't do afkinu kedushin rabbanimine to a kedushin that didn't exist yet. They have no ways of creating a makeup kedushin. Writes the Ran, but what are you supposed to do? Mishom dechsev yatzev ha'isa. Avodavarach eloi. So what the Ran seems to be saying, l'chayra, is that he's disagreeing. It's not just the Ran, it's a Rashba, a bunch of list of Rishonim. They disagree with the whole mahalach of Rashi. Rashi in the Tesis, his whole idea that Gerushin is unique because Gerushin is Bakorcha and the Lomdus is this and that, says the Ran, that's not the Pshat Nigma. The whole Pshat Nigma is completely different. This whole Rabbi Yochanan is completely made up. Why is it made up? Not like Rashi said it's made up because you just needed a Sina and not a Kenyan. It's made up because there's no such thing called Kofama. It's nothing. So why does it work? It works with Afkinu. Because of Agunais. Oh, one second. So then why does it work by Kedushin? Says the Ran, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan throws up his hands and says, I have no choice. That's the power of the Hekesh.
There's a big problem with that.
If
Kufam is made up the Rabbanan law, how is a Hekesh Doraisa? What does it have to do with the Rabbanan?
But that's Akash on any Pshat. If you learn like Rashi, it's a little less Shva. Because Rashi ties you into the Torah. So we'll see in a second that you could say a similar Pshat even on a Doraisa level. But again,
That's not what the Ran's saying.
Again, the Ran is bavorning Akasha, which Rav Salvation pointed out, and he's basically throwing up his hand and saying, yeah, you're right. He's asking from a different angle. The Ran's coming from a different angle. I would suggest that this machloikis we're showing him between Rashi, Tesirid, and Ran, and everyone else is on this mamish, this nekuda. Is it possible to say that Gerushin is not about Kinyan? The Ran and the Rashba and the Ritva didn't buy into Rashi because they thought it's ridiculous. That's not the way Gerushin works. Gerushin is like we always thought it is. It's about Kinyan. Mm-hmm. So therefore they had to rearrange the Gemara with its problems as opposed to Rashi. So when everyone talks about the Ktsois, I'd like to suggest it's not a Ktsois. I'd like to suggest it's a Machloikis Mishoinim and how to learn Rabbi Yechon. Whether or not Gerushin is a Maisa Nesina or Gerushin is a Maisa Kinyan.
The Ktsois applies it to the other Amara also.
The Ktsois likes to say it all over the place.
Right.
I would like to suggest that it's a machlokes rishonim and how to learn a bechem. And if I'm not mistaken, again, I need a chazer, we were telling this in machlokes rishonim already earlier in the parak. This is side of the Ktsois, I think, is totally in many machlokes rishonim about whether or not that's the muskum akar. But that's the nekud over here.
Huh?
Right? What does that mean, menasam bi? Right, that's the question.
It's biyada.
That's the question. What does biyada mean? Biyada might just mean a rishus that's called hers. Doesn't mean that she's kinyan. We think your other hand means kinyan because your hand is kinyan.
The Torah, you always take at face value.
But the problem is you have to then work with the question of Bakorcha. So there's Yushami that we mentioned. Yushami says she's kinyan. She's kinyan just even though she doesn't want to. But she's kinyan. That's Yushami's answer. That's you have to pick your battle over here. What you want to fight with? Are you going to fight with the biyada word, or are you going to fight with the concept of bakarcha? So I said the second raya about it, suri hanot. There's rayas that gerushin can't be as simple as we suppose. But you have to choose which one are you willing to accept and which one you're willing to live with. Chaim lives with both. That's what Chaim says, right? The what? The Pnei Shu asked this kash. We'll get to that in 2 seconds. The Pnei Shu asked that kash on the gemara. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. There's a Chassam Sefer over here. Unbelievable Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer writes in number 5 the following idea. I can't say I understand it, but it's worth mentioning. The Chassam Sofer writes. The Chassam Sofer writes that according to Rashi, according to Yochanan, Kuf Amo works midaraisa. Can we keep on saying that in the Ran, in the Rashba, in the Ritva, Kuf Amo is all the Rabban. And then you have the whole Shaila, how's it work? Tefkinu, you play all the games. Says the Chassam Sofer that he believes that Rashi Shita in the Sugya is that Kuf Amo according to Yochanan is a Kinyan deraisa. He writes, Mashma b'hish Rashi deraisa who beget to Bal Korcha. Since the whole idea, again, the way we learned Rashi, the way Salvechik learned Rashi, it makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Yochanan is not coming up with any major chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan is explaining to you what the Torah meant when it said the words v'nasam b'yada. What did the Torah mean? Says Rabbi Yochanan, it didn't just mean put it into her hand, put it into a backyard. It meant put it into any rishus where she controls it, or any area where she's in control. Therefore, according to Rashi, it's talking about the raisa. It's not a chap of the rabbanon. It's not a trick that the rabbanon made up like the way the Ram learns. This is an understanding of the Torah. Why is it not true by other places? Because by other places the Torah didn't say v'nasam. By other places the Torah says something else. Now, the Chassam Sofer does add, the Shuv Yafina V'yatzev Ha'isa, Afagat B'kedushu No Yishayach Ha'itayim. So the Chassam Sofer Bavarin is what we call the Ran's Kasha, and Rav Salvechik pointed out, that what do you mean? If this is the whole Lomdus, how do you apply it to Kedushin? Kedushin, we clearly have to be current of the Kedushin, says the Chassam Sofer, okay? That it works, however that works. Comes along the Pnei Yeshua.
But according to him, how do you make it a deraisa? You know, it's Rabbi Yochanan, how is he making it a deraisa?
Because he's learning up the pasuk. When the pasuk says v'nasam b'yada, that's right. It means any area where the ged is controlled by her. That's what v'nasam b'yada means. So therefore, it's really the truth is, if we see, we'll see in a second. If you look at number 6 and 7, the Pnei Yeshua over here, the Pnei Yeshua Mamish brings it out even more clearly than the Chassam Sofer. Writes the Pnei Yeshua the following: he does not like the Ran's pshat. Says the Pnei Yeshua, "Miu beikadivi amefarshim akadmoinim." The Rishonim who write the time of the kulum asisim shem takonos agunos. That this whole thing is because of takonos agunos. The Haran hoyis v'fashu the kamei biyechin kav lafil me'amo, and the biyechin who suggested that our mishnah is working because takonos agunos v'temu alituva. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua, this is very hard to understand. To lefizen it's tarich loy medafkin rabban lekedushin. The Gemara should have wrote that this all works with afkinu. It's strange. If there's a statement of, if there's a phrase of how this all works, which is Afkinu, the Gemara should have said it somewhere. Rabbi Yochanan should have said it, or someone should have said it. If this is all working with this chiddush that we all know of Kol HaMekadesh Adayti Rabbanon, the Gemara should have said so. As I fret the Pnei Yeshua. Again, I don't know enough of Shas to know if this is true. When all the sugyas where we play Afkinu, does the Gemara always speak it out? I don't know. I'll take the Pnei Yeshua's word for it. He says it should have. So that's the Pnei Yeshua's cash. So Pnei Yeshua does not like the Ran's pshat because he feels that if the whole pshat was Takanas Agunas, Takanas Agunas itself is not a pshat. It's a starting. It's now that it's Takanas Agunas, Chazal had to do something. What did they do? They pulled the Kedushin. Okay, so as we say, it's Ikar Chasim and Asef. He left at the main point. The main point was Chazal pulled the Kedushin. Why is it not mentioned? As a effect of Pnei Yeshua. He has another kasha. We mentioned this other times. He doesn't think this whole Takanas Agunas is true. He thinks you're going to create bigger problems by allowing women and men to throw Gittin into wide areas and start measuring, yeah, mishtama, no mishtama, yeda. You're asking for bigger problems. Keep everything the way it used to be. You put it in her hand, you put it in her backyard, that's all simple. No debate, no issue. Now you open up a whole Pandora's box, you throw it within 100 amas. Well, was she able? Was it closer? This, that, dalar amas. Now you're creating a big mess. So if like the Pnei Yeshua, you want to help women? Pull it back. Don't create all these new kinyanim. You make it worse.
So as I fact, the Pnei Yeshua. Supposed to make it easy for him to divorce her. You're making it easier for him to divorce.
Well, forget it. That's the way the Ran seems to be saying it. The Pnei Yeshua is saying you're making it more complicated now because now all more shilohs will arise. Right. If you would have kept things simple, you put it in her hand, her backyard, in her purse. No. How many shilohs can come up? Now you had, well,
within 90 feet of
right.
Same with Gereshus. You made it easy for him.
To right. That's what we wanted. Gereshus. That's what Takanas Agunas means. But now you're going
to
just.
No, but on the one hand, on the other hand, it's also Shalti and Kalbi and Beinav, right?
Right, right. We don't want it to be. That's why. That's why we have this middle line of making divorces as easy as they can be without making them too easy. That's why we have Ksuba. We don't want all these women being divorced. This is easier, but as Pnei Yeshua points out, now we just have more Shilas that are going to make the Rabbanim's life harder. So it says the Pnei Yeshua, an unbelievable Yisait. And it's not so unbelievable because as we saw, it's Kamat Mefurish and Mishainim. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Ukarak Savdi Bereish Pirkin. The love the mistafina. I love when they write that. That's a fancy way of saying I'm about to argue on Rishayim. He loved the mistafina hayisi aimer. If not, I would say the kulam asisim
is
entire.
What is the
title? If you'll be so hesitant or able, you know, it basically means I'm going to about to argue on someone bigger than me, and I'm not really right. It's like with all due respect, this is what's going to be. And we all know what happens after someone tells you that. It's never good. So says the Pnei Yeshua, I argue on all the Rishayim. As we'll see, it's not really all the Rishonim. It's a good part of the Rishonim. But the Bnei Yeshua wants to learn the Gemara completely different than the Ran, the Rashba, and everyone else. Those Rishonim will learn in this Gemara as the Rabbanim, which means Midah Raisa. There's no kinyan called Kafam. It's made up. The whole thing is the Rabban. Says the Bnei Yeshua, I disagree. The Kivon the Darshin of Nasan Mikom Makom. The Torah, the Gemara Daf Ein Zayin told us. It says in the pasuk of Nasan Mikom Makom. You put it anywhere. Ribuyehu Marbin Kol Milia Afilu B'Shusha Inishal. The chiddush of that is you can put it again anywhere, even if it's not her possession. Whoa. There's one requirement that needs to be met. It has to be like a hand. Now, what's significant about a hand? So, Pashup Shad, a hand, you would look at as an extension of your area. My hand is mine. My backyard is mine. My purse is mine. My car is my area. The Rosh Hashanah is not my area. Says the Bnei Yeshua, that's not true. What's significant about a yodo is mishtameres. It's I guard my hand. I guard my backyard. I guard kofam. Therefore, says the Bnei Yeshua, Af komokim she'im medes merachik. She can be standing very far away from it. But v'yichoy lishmar have a shapit dumed the yodo. That's enough to be compared to Yada, therefore be included in the Venasan of the Torah. Now, what the Pnei Yeshua is saying is similar to what we said from the other Rishonim, but with a different angle. He's suggesting that when the Torah said the parasha of Venasan, we think of Rishusim as places where it's mine, legally. My backyard is mine legally, because on a document it says this is mine. My purse is mine legally. The Rishus Rabbim is not mine legally. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's not what we care about. We care about the Chiddush Akra of Get. The Nasan includes any area that you are the sole controller of. I don't care where it is. It's in your backyard, it's in the street, we'll have to talk about what happens if it's in the husband's rishos. And he's not being Meshamrit. We'll have to deal with that. But says the Pnei Yeshua, that's what the Chiddush Akra is. I ask the Pnei Yeshua, that can't be, because the Gemara says, the Gemara is very specific about what works. The Gemara says, only your backyard, only your chatzar. Well, it should be anything according to this. No. Those are the areas that are intrinsically yours. Then even if the husband controls the area, you're still divorced. But an area that's not yours legally, but you're controlling, you're also divorced. Midai Raisa.
Who's controlling?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Whatever he mails it to her, right? It's her name, her address. But it's not there yet. It's in transit.
Right, so that would not be a Yochai L'Chayil L'Shamra. Let's say, for example, he would leave it somewhere in Rosh Hashanah. There's Tligitech problems, which we'll have to deal with, but somehow the get would be in a way where she is in control of the get, although it's completely not in her Rosh Hashanah. She has no bailus over this area. According to the Pnei Yeshua, according to B'Yechanon, she's Mugureshis Midaraisa. Why? Because that's what the Torah said you do. The Torah said, put the get in an area that is controlled by her, that the get's controlled by her.
Like her yad.
Like yad. Because it's all about Doim Eliyadu. What do you mean by knowledge of what?
Knowledge of that the woman is aware of that.
She knows that thing 90 feet away is
she doesn't know it's a get. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about.
She doesn't know it's a get.
We will believe that to talk about next week more. What does all these words mean? Yechel l'shama. What does it mean? Guard it mean what? I can grab it. You can. That's for next week. Maybe we should have done it this week. I don't know.
Even if it's in front of her, and we would go back to that old case we had a million times. Guy's holding his
Yeah. We're going to get to that. That's the next piece of Gemara. Yeah, we'll hopefully get to that. If the next piece of Gemara means we'll get there in about 3 months. Okay, we'll get believe that.
Like circumvent this whole issue?
By doing what?
In other words, she's not Mishnah Merit invested, but Bestin is Shomer for her.
So that's what we need to talk about. We have to see what does it mean to be Mishnah Merit? What does all this mean? What does all this stuff mean? You control it means you have the area cordoned off that no one else can come there? We'll have to talk about it. Believe me, we'll get to it next week. But listen to the end of the Pnei Yeshua. This is what I find so interesting. Says the Pnei Yeshua, V'ha d'la yafin mamon migitin. So why can't we learn that mama from get, according to this understanding? Because since Gerishin is Bal Korcha, so what? It's not about ownership. So the way the Pnei Yeshua learned Rashi, he learned Rashi that when Rashi keeps on saying that Gerishin is Bal Korcha, that tips you off to saying what? That by Gerushin, why did the Torah say that by Gerushin I don't care about ownership, I just care about Rishos? Is because Gerushin is Bakarch. Because Gerushin is Bakarch. So the Torah sat down, the Torah said, you know what? What's important to us to fulfill Nesina? What is the major elements that we need to have of Anasam? What we said was, he said, you know what? We don't need her to be Kainit, because she's never Kainit. Get, she's never Kainit. So what is the deciding factor? It has to be considered that I gave it to her. What's considered giving it to her? Any area which she controls. As I zok the Pnei Yeshua. And he says he thinks it's like this from Rashi, but he says he didn't see in any other Rishonim. I think it's Mefurish Tosfos Rit. It could be he didn't have the Tosfos Rit. I don't think it's a kasha. But L'chayyur, we're seeing another way of learning the sugya. The way that Bnei Yeshua learned the sugya is similar to the way we learned it in Tosfos Rit, but a slightly different kinesh. He's suggesting that because it's Bal Karchoi, that's why when the Torah talks about Chatzar, the Torah doesn't mean Chatzar with regard to Kinyan, it meant with regard to the Nesina. Not because Gerushin is a mice in the Sina, but because by Gerushin the Ratzon HaTorah is where you put it not to be kind. That's the way the Pnei Yeshua wants to learn.
So how does Vechim in Kedushin work according to
him? Right, so he bavorns that. He thinks according to him it's much better. He writes at the end, he says, so Vahash to Osi Shaper HaKeshet V'yatzev HaHoyse. Now it's all better, my Hekesh V'Vayalitz here. Why is it all better? Because now I guess he'll tell you that the Hekesh is being Megala, what it means to make an Asina. But you can still argue. Well, seems like Rav Naftali Trump, the Granada, asked his kasha. He says the Pnei Yeshua didn't gain anything. So if you write right away, if you look at number 8, Rav Naftali Trump, the Rav Shivan Radin, right, people forget, the Chavetz Chaim wasn't Rav Shivan Radin. He says yeshiva. He wasn't the Rav Shiva. He didn't say the high yeshiva. He was an integral part of the yeshiva. But the Chavetz Chaim also used to, any major issues, halachic issues that came up, the Chavetz Chaim passed on to the Rav of the town. The Rav of Radin was a musmucham from the Chavetz Chaim. He was a younger guy. The Chavetz Chaim would punt all the shaylas to him. He wouldn't even pass in the shaylas. Chavetz Chaim said, you have to ask the Rav. The Rav of the town has to pass in the shaylas. Not the Chavetz Chaim. I'm saying this young fellow got smicha from the Chavetz Chaim. It's the Chavetz Chaim games. There was a maisa once where these two guys, this is the way the story goes, as I mentioned once before, that Rosh Hashechta's father-in-law was a Talmud from the Baruch Ber. He wrote Shari Yeshi. It was from the old European... one time he saw that Rajach the son was shaved on one of the Cholamites Pesach and Sukkot, because he was following the Salvation Pesach. So his father turned to him and said, I'm just going to tell you, there was a Maisa once with two Bochum and Rad and Yeshiva who shaved, and the Chavetz Chaim wanted to throw them out of Yeshiva. Ad Kan L'Shein. That was the end of the story. So he told him the whole Maisa with the Chavetz Chaim. The way Rav Shechta said over, he wasn't trying to chepper him, he was just trying to tell him a story about how there's two Bochum that shaved the Cholamoy, because the Chavetz Chaim writes, you're not allowed to. So the Chavetz Chaim wanted to throw them out of Yeshiva, but he was afraid if they'd be thrown out of Yeshiva, they'd go to a less religious school. So the Chavetz Chaim came up with a whole way, there was a whole story, how to save the Bochum, and they got the rabbi of the town involved. That's the story. Maisa the Bochum stayed in Yeshiva. But that was the story that the way Rav Shechta related about his relationship with his father. But in any case, the Chavetz Chaim. I don't know that's why. Not sure, could be. But that was the story he said about his father. That was the comment he wanted him to know about the story with the Chavetz Chaim and the two Bochum being trying to be thrown out of Yeshiva. But in any case, the Granat, when Naftali Trop asks the following kasha on the Pnei Yeshua. He says in number 8, Omnom HaPnei Yeshua Sham Nakat Davi Migureshes Oy Mikudeshes Midereis Ibn Yeshua Amr Tarev Nasad Ibn Sina Kol Dusagi. How did the Pnei Yeshua learn the whole sugya? Fancy way is basically that by Gerushin all you need is a Maisa Nesina. But how does that work for Kedushin? He says, that's all good by Gerushin. By Gerushin it says, V'nosam b'yada. So you could tell me that what the Torah says, V'nosam b'yada, is, I want an Asina to a Rishus where you control. V'koshetuva. De'eich efshish yu ha-Kedushin chalam b'zeh. How does that work for Kedushin? Kedushin, the Torah doesn't say, make an Asina l'Rishusa, but Kedushin it's pashtas akid. So he wants to tell you that the Bishlam in Bikedushin Binyan Rak Nesina Asi Shapit the Karvla Mikri Nesina. If you were to tell me this Bam Chiddush, that Kedushin works with a Mice and Nesina, like Gerushin works, and everything's beautiful. Avo Bikedushin Habin in Kinyan. That Mikadish Tarech Lahaknes Lahakesef. You have to be Makna her the money, and she's kind of the money. Vim Nafal Hakesef, Aval Pi, the Nafal Karvla, Holy Kansa Kesef. Let's say the money will drop right in front of her. She's not kind of the money, unless it's Dalamas, whatever it is. So Frank the Granat, why did the Pnei Yeshua get? That's why Frank the Granat. Says Reb Naftali, this unbelievable chiddush. We quoted this when we learned kedushin, and it's still a big chiddush. Says Reb Naftali, "Trap vanir bezed the beemes shaych shakedushin yichol afilu ba'ofin to hayirak nesina v'leikonse isha sakesef." Anyone who ever learns kedushin, your eyes should pop out when you read that statement. Where Reb Naftali Trap wants to suggest that maybe a nechanami, maybe right, maybe kedushin is also a ma'ase nesina. You make an nesina l'rishusa. It's not about being kind of the tabas. It's about making a nesina l'rishusa. The benesina b'rishusa gam kein chalan kedushin yafinu miyatzav ha'isa. This is obviously an unbelievable chiddush from Rav Naftali Trump. It was a chiddush when we looked at 3 years ago. It's still a chiddush today. But it answers all the kashas. It's beautiful. Now there's no kashas in Machshavah. Let's see all the lumdus fits. And not only that, Lefiza now Mamish, they're working with the same lumdus. Kedush and Geisha have the same lumdus. They're both Maisin and Sinas and about Kedush. How this works into many sugis in Kedush, I don't know. But Azayz Dr. Naftali Trump, that's the way.
Since he has Shtar and Bia also, which is not the Derech Agam, I mean, I don't know what you get from getting a Shtar necessarily.
Right, right.
Or the Bia itself. You know?
That's a whole different Maisin Kenyan, as we spoke about, right?
Since it's already a Kedush in a different way.
Maybe. But to learn from Azah Hekish that you're going to be able to rechange the whole Chalois Kedushin to make it a whole, this is very wild.
By just putting it into the Rishus, it's the Kedushin.
Yeah, it should not have to be kind of the Kedushin, like Gerish, Maisin Nesina. It's wild. I think again part of that piece in Granat, he's trying to explain the shayla of marrying a woman against the will. So you have tluy of his oven that we spoke about when we learned kedusha.
I mean, she still needs a das to be merutzah to it.
No, yeah, 100%. That the Gemara is correct. Right. Yeah, you still need consent. You don't need kinyan. That's his chiddush. But then we'll have to talk about it more next week. We're already short on time, like we usually do. Is there's a Rambam that seems to be saying as a chiddush similar to what we saw from the Granat. Two Rambams that we need to see Blinad the next week, and then hopefully we'll discuss what does it mean to be shomer to guard the get.
This Tuesday night, Rabbi Sokolov's halacha shiur is under.